went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 bags more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold came also. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put your money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has given me more, they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Gracious and generous God, help us to realize how we may take a risk in you. Through the words that I speak and the meditations of my heart, may they be a blessing to your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So just to begin, this is an exceptionally difficult parable to deal with, right? We have this whole story of this guy who was just trying not to make his master mad. And then that last part of the parable where the dude's out back gnashing his teeth and go, "Oh man, this is not the kind of God I thought I was worshiping." But there's more to it here, and I want to kind of get at it because it doesn't seem as clear when you read it, but when you get into it, you start to sink your teeth into this parable, you realize what Jesus is getting at. You realize what Jesus is trying to say to his disciples in this very important time and something that we need to hear as well. So Matthew doesn't outright say it, but what we're dealing with here is a very wealthy man. In the parable, it just says he's a man. And Luke, the parable, says that he was a lord of the county or whatever it was. And we know this because he's got servants. In fact, he's got 3 servants that he can just say, "Hey, you go and invest some money." We don't even see all the other servants he probably has, right, to deal with his other affairs of the business. And the other thing we know that he has a lot of money too is because he has 7 talents or bags of gold, but then the original translation is called talents. He has 7 talents to just play around with. And we find out at the end of the parable that he was going to give this money to them no matter how much they made. That he's going to give this to his servants. We We find out that a talent at those days, a bag of gold, would have been about 15 years of wages for a laborer. So I did the math for today's day. If you were to make a minimum wage in the state of Ohio at $8.10 an hour, 15 years represents just over $250,000. This guy wasn't handing out money in envelopes. It was briefcases. He was handing them briefcases of money. Overwhelming. And you have to think about these servants, right? Because these guys were just servants. They'd probably never seen this kind of cash ever in their life before. And it almost sounds like a setup to a comedy film, like that movie Trading Places with Eddie Murphy. You ever seen that movie? Where it's just like, whoa, what is this? They have briefcases of money in front of them, and you could just see them wide-eyed thinking, think of the possibilities. Oh, boy. But the three servants, the first two, coming to their senses, realize that they need to do something. This is an opportunity. They don't want to just sit on this money. They don't want to just spend this money. They have to do something with it. And so they do. They go out. They trade. They wheel and deal. They invest. And they double their money before the master returns. We don't know how long the master was gone, but they made some money. And the parable spends then a whole bunch of time with that third servant who buried the money instead of putting it to work. But it is important to remember that the first two servants, those first two people that the parable barely spends any time on, they were taking an incredible risk, right? They didn't know that they were going to be able to double their money. How did they know they were going to be? They could have invested it in some bad stocks, and oh boy, it's all gone. Sorry, dude. Right? But they invested it. They took a risk with this money that the master had given them. And by taking that risk, they were able to double. Whereas the servant who buried the money just sat on it, took no risk. So it makes me wonder if this wealthy man is rewarding the two servants because they made money, or because, like I said to the kids, they dared to take a risk. Now, I am convinced that this man, this wealthy man, is not sweating losing a few talents or a few bags of gold. Especially since, like I said at the end, it appears that he's given them not only the principal, but the profit. It seems like, though, that he is more interested not in how much more money they made him, but in how the servants responded to the generous gift they received. Did they put it to use, or did they let it languish in a hole in the ground? Do you take a risk, or do you just wait it out? The wealthy man is harsh with the third servant, not because he didn't make money, but because he did nothing with what he was given. Now, while I don't think that the wealthy man is a one-for-one stand-in for God, I do believe that this wealthy man gives as God gives to us. Generously. God gives us grace, not in envelopes, but briefcases and mountains. And if every morning we realized how much grace we received every day, we would be like those servants going, look at all this grace. What am I going to do with it? We would recognize that God gives us this incredible gift each and every day. And not just grace, but gifts. Gifts that we need to share, grace that we need to share with others. And so in this parable, we're recognizing that we too need to take a risk. We too cannot wake up every morning and see this grace that we have received and do nothing with it. Because it's a waste if we do. God is making an investment in us and is interested in seeing that grace spread much wider than just those people, than just the people that the three servants were talking about today. Wasting this grace is a rejection. And we as Christians are responsible. We are held accountable for our response to God's grace. And this parable tells us that a true life, a true Christian life, is one that takes initiative, dares to put that grace to work. So my question is, what does this parable tell the church today? That this grace and this gift that we're given by God, this investment God makes in us, must not be wasted but put to use to its fullest. That God tasks us to take a risk, not to sit on our hands. So the excuses that we come up with on a regular basis, right? We all have those wonderful excuses that we come up with. And go, oh, Gray, or oh, I can't do this. I can't give back. I'm too busy. There's too much going on. I'm too broke. My work life is just wild right now. And yet for all these excuses that we come up with, every moment is an opportunity to invest in the grace that God has given us. In our workplace, at church, in the community. All these chances where we're able to give back to the grace that God has gifted to us. But what we cannot do is sit on our hands and do nothing with it. If it just sits there, it is a waste. It's pointless. God shouldn't even have given it to us because it just sits there. So we as Christians have to be a people of risk. A people who are willing to put ourselves out there, step outside of the boat, dare to walk towards Jesus, even if the water is under us, moving, waving, the wind is at us. We cannot leave our gifts outside in the rain, like Tommy reminded us, and let it get all rusty. We're not going to do that. And your gifts, no matter what they are, they're never too modest. Your contribution can make a difference, no matter how little you may think it is. Because each of us have a responsibility to respond, or else we will be held accountable. So how are you reinvesting God's generous gifts to you? How are you finding ways to pay it forward? When we lived in Columbus, Indiana, there was this very nice street that some nice people lived on, but there was this one guy for Halloween that would have a game outside for the kids, and it was a dice game. And when you walked up to the house, he gave you three options. He says, you can take this fun-size Snickers bar right now and just walk away, and you got your candy from me, and you're good to go. Or you can roll between whatever it was and get the middle bigger candy. Or if you get the middle bigger candy, then you can risk it all and get the giant size Reese's cups. And these kids would show up to this house and they'd be go, so what's this now? I need a roll for my candy? And he would take note of how many kids were willing to risk. Because if you lost, you walked away with nothing. And so I loved this idea, though. I thought it could be somewhat cruel. Our friends, kid actually ended up winning the giant size, Reese's cup or whatever. But the idea of taking a risk, he was trying to see if these kids would take a risk, would be willing to put themselves in a vulnerable situation in order to see what they might get back. So this last week, I spent the whole week at a conference called the Credo, which is a conference that is like, as I've been telling people, a look in the mirror. It's a chance for you to take a hard, long look at your life and reconsider how you have been living. It was a place to be held accountable for my ministry, my finances, my health, my career choices. And through this conference, I realized that I had not been caring for myself as well as I should have been, or for my family, or also of you. I realized, full use of the gifts that God has given me, because I was not caring for myself. As I told the session Thursday, my liquid intake of most days in the office was coffee, coffee, Coke, coffee, coffee, milk. And so I realized that because I had been neglecting the gifts, I had not been able to be as present as I needed to be with my family or with you. And so I left the Credo Conference with a plan that seeks to find a better balance so that I may be a better person, a better husband, father, and minister to you all. Much of it involves getting exercise, better diet, but I am also seeking to pray more without this script thing y'all see me carry every Sunday, to be more present, to help celebrate the gifts we have here in this place, and more importantly, to work prayer and listening time into my daily schedule. So I ask you all today, are you taking full advantages of the gifts God has given each and every one of you? Are you caring for yourself so that those gifts can be put to use? Or is there some way in which you have been neglectful? Neglectful not only of God, but of the gifts you've been given, but yourself and your family. I ask you today to take that look in the mirror. Look at your life and look at the ways in which you can give yourself more fully to God by caring for yourself, your family, and your neighbors. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.